Good evening. Today is Tuesday, November 18th, 2025. It is 5:30 p.m., the regularly scheduled meeting of the Bullhead City Council. Can I have a roll call, please?
All council members are present.
Thank you. Our invocation tonight will be by Pastor Tim Amy of the Communion Lutheran Church. If you would like to join us and are able, please stand.
Let us pray. On this very rainy day that you have blessed us, Lord God, we give you thanks for all the blessings of the earth. And we especially ask for your blessing upon these public servants on this city council, that they may do their work in the spirit of wisdom, charity, and justice. Help them use their authority to serve faithfully and to promote our common life. And help us to understand that government is a trust from you, to be used not for personal glory or profit, but for the service of the people. Drive from us cynicism, selfishness, and corruption. Grant in your mercy just and honest government, and give us grace to live together in unity and peace. We humbly ask this in your most gracious name. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have no presentations or proclamations, so we will open call to the public. Just as a reminder, call to the public is open for citizens wishing to address the council on issues that are not on tonight's agenda. As you approach the dais, please state your name clearly for the record. Your comments will be limited to 3 minutes. If you're speaking on behalf of a group that is here present with you, you will receive a 5-minute time period. If you're representing a group, please notify the vice mayor so he can appropriately set the timer. If your comments are related to an item on tonight's agenda, please wait until that agenda item is called. At the conclusion of call to the public, individual council members cannot answer questions or address those speaking before the council. However, members can discuss information that has been criticism of the council member. Thank you. Who's up?
Good evening, Barbara Pape. I'm here to tell you that I'm announcing our Colorado River Republican women are having their meeting December monthly meeting on December 3rd, 11 a.m. at the Chaparral Country Club. And I don't know the new name of the country club, so I'm sorry about that. 1260 Mojave Drive, and it's Bullhead City. The meeting is going to be electing new board members, the president, vice president, treasurer, and I hope that's the only ones. Our guest speaker is Gina Sobota. She is the chairwoman of the Arizona Republican Party. Gina will be swearing in our newly elected board members, and anyone is welcome to come. It is luncheon, and it's $15 each. No.
$35.
Oh, $35. I'm sorry. I forgot. But anyway, anyone's welcome. Thank you, and good night. And happy Thanksgiving to all.
Thank you. Next.
There. Good evening, Mayor,
Council members and staff, my name is Diana Lestat. I'm the Loyal Knight of the Bullhead City Elks Lodge, number 2408, and I'm here to share the excitement of the Bullhead City Elks Annual Hoop Shoot, a free throw competition for kids ages 8 to 13, hosted in partnership with the Boys and Girls Club. The event takes place December 13th, 2025 at 10 a.m. at the Boys and Girls Club at 2250 Highland Road. Participants must be born before April 1st, 2026, and parents are to bring proof of age. Winners advance to district, then state, and ultimately nationals, where champions earn a spot in the Basketball Hall of Fame. So lace up those sneakers and start practicing. For details, contact the Elks Lodge at 928-758-2408. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Sean Bullhead City. So I've been refraining from trying to discuss this in an open setting like such as this, but I think with all the discussion going on, especially with the rate increases going on, I do have an issue, especially with MEC. A while back, I addressed them, and they were made aware of my father's condition and that he was on life support while he was at the home. During that time, income became pretty hard. We had to make a lot of changes, and we went to MEC, and while I was there, the manager came up. She was very rude. I had been in there many times for extensions and stuff like that for his power bill. The thing that got me the most was her arrogance in her stating that if I told her that I came home and the power was off, my father would probably have passed away. And they said, okay, that's fine. It was arrogant. It was snotty. It was rude. It was disgusting. It's everything above board. He served his country valiantly for 20 years in the Air Force and gave him the right to say what he wants to say. However, when we have monopolies, such as the utilities that we have, Southwest Gas, Mojave Electric, the water company, everything is only one party. They're a one-party monopoly. We can't change it. We have to use them. But they have a right to throw us out if they don't like what we say or how we do it. Then they threaten to shut your electricity off. They blow their power around. We can't do anything about it. There's not much we can do. We can't get competition in here to make any changes. But what we can do is make the city aware and the citizens aware that those of us that do struggle, that have to decide whether to buy groceries, pay your power bill, pay your gas bill, pay your car insurance, everything goes up. Every one of you can just charge it up because your costs are going up. But we get a 2.8% increase, and that's supposed to be good. That's $58, and that's supposed to suffice with all your rate increases. So I guess what I'm saying is we've got to look at this from a big picture. There's a lot of us out here that are struggling, a lot with kids, those I don't envy, that got to make serious decisions. And when you guys start raising rates, and when MEC starts raising rates, or they start treating people with disrespect, and there's nowhere else you can go to change that level, we got a problem. We got big monopolies. There needs to be a bigger bite with them. I think that they need to be reined in. And if their rate increases, so their increase or your increase shouldn't go up more than ours.
Your time's up, Sean. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Scotty from Bullhead. I can't believe the little flags that you put over there in front of City Hall. They're ridiculous, stupid looking. I can't believe those little bastards over there. You got nice ones out here, you got nice ones here, except for the fringe. Who put those little this big here? They were wet today and they were wrapped around the pole like sagging. Change them out to real flags. I bitched before about the flags at the memorial. Flags when I first came back to this town. And they have been, American Legion's been real careful about not having flying any more tattered flags. They should have been embarrassed then. These steel plates are left all over my area down there from the gas companies down there and you guys. There should be a time limit on those plates. Let's dig it up and then leave these plates there and then we'll go order the parts. I know there's sometimes Matt can't get parts. So there should be, when I was doing underground, we never left them. We left them overnight and the next day we started blasting because we had caliche. But by God, there was only one day we used those plates. You can't believe how dangerous it was coming to work today, or coming to, today was work, I guess. Coming up here today when it was raining and hitting those steel plates. You can't see them, when it, especially down there on Riviera where it's right there on the top. You hit those steel plates, you're gonna kill somebody. There ought to be a time limit on those things. I'm tired and tired of steel plates. The gas company just don't care. They don't care because they can raise our rates. They can do whatever in the hell they want in this town. And then in 3 years, they will get paid for doing their job today because the ACC will approve their rate increase because of the job they're doing today. They have to. I got a little letter from Toby here a couple days ago. For a couple of times I've asked for a new road to be put in from the field house to Rainbow Drive. You guys are always saying you're improving the roads around here. Well, there's one there, and Toby won't do it. He had no plans to place the matter on the agenda. We got state parks land there. Some people have come to town and said, we're going to build them. That's bull. They put it up for auction several times. Well, you guys can condemn a parcel going, a road going through there. You have the right to do that, I believe. But it takes two of you to put it on the agenda. I'm asking two of you to put it on the agenda. We put a road through there, come off the new bridge and end up here. Need two people to put it on the agenda.
Thank you, Scotty.
Thank you, next. Go ahead, Gary.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, Gary Genovese, Bullhead City, a.k.a., and you have missed him, I know, the Ham Man. I am representing Colorado River Historical Society and Museum, and we are embarking, and we have been embarked, on our Thanksgiving fundraiser for that, as you well know, because many of you had it at Easter and have been pining away for it all summer long, and now it's back. That nice, golden-hued, round, juicy, sugary exterior, and that sweet, slightly salty interior, pinkish in glow, honey-baked ham. That should border on X-rated damn near, huh? any rate, it's our fundraiser for the Mojave Museum, the County Museum, and as you well know, donations are what keep us alive. And this is an eat your donation type of thing, so, you know, whenever you decide to purchase your ham, you can dine on it, and you're guests and your family will enjoy every tender morsel of it. So the honey baked ham is now available. So you have to call Susanna, and many of you know Susanna, at 928-234-4807. I'll repeat that, 928-234-4807. We'll pick up the hams in Henderson on November 25th. They'll be available for pickup at her house. She'll give you the address when you call between 6:30 and 8. And you will enjoy the ham. The museum will enjoy the revenue. And we'll all spend a happy Thanksgiving. And you'll see me again twice in December, God willing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Tough act to follow. By the way, your ham donation is deductible. It's a nonprofit, so buy quite a few. I'm here for the Mojave High School drama.
Eva, tell us
who
you are.
Oh, I forgot to tell you my name. Eva Genovese. And hello, Toby Cotter. And our new interim chief. I don't know your name, but hello. Anyway, the last day of school is the drama. And it is, mark your calendars, November 20th through the 22nd. And they're at 7 p.m. They're having two on the 22nd. One is at 2 o'clock. So we're going to go try to make it to all of them, of course. We support the students in the high school drama and the choir. And I hope you all can come. And the tickets are $7. And students, seniors, and veterans are only $5. And little ones are free. But don't bring the little ones. They make too much noise. It's at 2251 Highway 95 in Bullhead City. Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening, Mayor Head, Council, and staff. I'm Julie Hassett with Colorado River Concerts. We opened our season Thursday night, and we started out with Mid-Atlantic Men. We had a fabulous show, and I hope everybody that came had as much fun as I did. Thank you for being there. I want to thank the people that attended, because we wouldn't be there without you, and bring your friends and neighbors next time. And I want to thank the many donors, and there are several in this room right now, and I appreciate your support so we can keep performing arts alive in our community. And especially for our youth, because my mission is to make sure that the students and the youth of this community get to participate in performing arts and get to either be in drama or band or choir and have that special something in their life. And we had a fabulous mini concert before the evening concert at 10 a.m. We had 550 kids from 8 schools in Bullhead City, ages 6th grade through 12th grade, and it was awesome. The performers were, they were really amazed that the kids were so good and so enthusiastic. They're very impressed, and a lot of kids asked them for their autograph afterwards. It was really cute, and I had this idea the night before, and I thought, well, we're going to have a captive audience of 6th grade through 12th grade. What better time to let them know what our high school band can do? Because we really need those schools to feed into our high school band. And if they're not stimulating and inspiring them, they don't just get to high school and want to do it. So I texted the new Mojave High School band director, Josh Stallworth, and I said, do you think you could bring your drum line up on stage for 15 minutes before the professional guys get on stage? I said, I think the kids would really enjoy it. And so we worked all that out. He rehearsed with them that morning, and he wowed the kids. I mean, those students were very excited about, drumming and just watching the kids on stage performing. And then Josh spoke with the group and talked about, you can be in band too. You can start where you are, and you can perform, and you can be a part of this. So anyway, we are crconcerts.com. We have three more, January 15th, February 5th, and March 17th. We hold our concerts at Mojave High School Auditorium at 7 p.m., $35 for each show. And you can go online, crconcerts.com, or you can pick up a flyer at the Senior Enrichment Center or at the Historical Society. Go online and check us out, because we are the best entertainment in the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Next. Seeing no one rise, we'll close the call to public. Agenda modifications, anything? Seeing none, I'll take a waiver motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to waive the reading in full of all ordinances and resolutions presented for adoption at this meeting.
Have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor Head, council members. Good evening, good afternoon. A couple quick items this afternoon. The first is on November 11th, on Veterans Day, the city, along with our community partners, hosted a Veterans Day celebration. And if staff could bring up some of the footage of that, you'll see that the two new Jeeps that the council approved were placed out at the peninsula, and it was a fantastic celebration held out there on a beautiful Veterans Day of November 11th, and those are the Jeeps. And special thanks to Medi and all kinds of community groups that donated, but Medi Arzami kind of led that charge. Again, you see the Jeeps that are out there. Those two Jeeps were brought in. The Matadors came, and that's General Spicer in the middle. He spoke along with Mayor Head and the veterans groups, Dick from Veterans United, and all of the veterans groups that were there and participated. It was a grand celebration of about 200 or so people out on the peninsula on really a magical day out there. The Deuce and a Half isn't there yet. It will be soon, and we'll make sure that you all are aware of it, and we'll go down there when it arrives. And Angie promises a nice location for it, and Medi had been working on that along with the Jeeps here recently. And again, for very little city contribution, the Veterans Peninsula continues to grace us, and it's beautiful. If you haven't been down there, check it out. The Saturday before that, Dave Heath, the rec department, and his team put on the Veterans Parade, and we also have some footage of that to share with the community. Again, a fantastic Veterans Day parade in Bullhead City. Many, many people lined Miracle Mile, and you know, really hundreds of people participated in a salute to veterans, and it was really another really super parade that was held on Miracle Mile the Saturday before Veterans Day. So you could see just a selection of the many people who participated. And again, great job to our team and to the community for coming out, not only watching, but so many participants and businesses. And both of those events just show the magnitude of our businesses, but also of our community organizations that participated. They know who they are. We don't have to mention them all here tonight. But just a great community gathering in both of those events. The third item on my report is the Chaparral Golf Course and Restaurant. For those looking for the official name now, it is the Chaparral Golf Course and Restaurant, which is currently being used as a flood retention basin for the city with all of this rain. In fact, Angie just forwarded a video a few moments ago. It's probably taken on the most water that it ever has since 2009, right now. It is flowing, and it's working the way it's supposed to, and it's one of the reasons that we've partnered up with the CCC Inc. to take over that golf course, is because the back five holes essentially are flood retainage, and there's a lake there right now, and that's how it was designed, and it's working exactly the way it's supposed to be. Back maybe when Mayor Head was on the force, he remembers cars would float away down in that area before all of the flood improvements that were put down there. And obviously we're getting a lot of rain, and for those who are affected, certainly reach out to us via social media or a call, and we'll get out there and clean up those roadways and do what we can do to help people who are impacted. We did hand out sandbags over the last few weeks at several occasions, and we know that you don't really know where the water's going till it goes there. So please reach out if there's any issues, especially when the sun peaks up tomorrow, and we'll go out there and help our community. But back to Chaparral, we did get the liquor license today. So the city's Series 5 license that we applied for, we did have a waiting period, so the course has been a dry course since we took over on November 1st, but the license was issued today, and hopefully tomorrow we'll be ready to serve. Certainly, it's not a bar in the sense of a crazy nightlife atmosphere. That's not what the city does at any of our Series 5 licenses. It's a bar in the sense it's a family atmosphere, and while alcohol is sold, it's not the primary function of the golf course or the restaurant. And so some changes will be made as it relates to that. For example, there won't be a big selection of shots for people to have. And again, that's how we operate, and we definitely want to be a place where families go, not a nightlife for people looking for that. We've got plenty of bars in the community that offer that. So stay tuned with other great changes. I talked to someone who golfed there recently and said it's the best condition it's been in a very, very long time since we took over. Maybe better than it was over a decade ago, according to one person. And if you talk to Victor on our team, he's still not satisfied. So I believe that in a year from now, you'll see him satisfied, and we'll have a really special nine-hole golf course connected to Rotary Park and in the Chaparral community. And then finally, Mark Clark and his team will be hosting another public outreach session tomorrow evening right here in the council chambers, starting at 5:30 to discuss the utility rate increase, to discuss the reasons and rationale why, and also to offer some discounts for those who qualify and explain how those work. So anybody who's interested in learning a little bit more about the water and wastewater rates, tomorrow right here in the council chambers at 5:30. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. I'll start with mayor and council comments. I'll start on this end. Councilwoman?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Head. I would like to congratulate our Mojave College Bighorns. They defeated the defending national champions, and they won 2-0. They will be advancing to the national semifinals on Thursday in Daytona Beach, Florida. Let's congratulate them and wish them the best of luck.
Councilwoman Ring, Vice Mayor.
Councilman. Yeah, thank you, Mayor Head. I just wanted to mention the students from Desert Light Christian Academy and the Malk Key Club for the incredible work they did at the trash cleanup a couple weeks ago. It was a very difficult location, and there was decades of trash that they pulled out. So I just wanted to say a great job to them.
Thank you. I'd like to take a moment and thank Veterans United for inviting me to speak at the Veterans Day service and ceremony. It's always uplifting to honor our veterans, and I was very honored to have been asked by them, and I believe that their program was very amazing, and it's always a great day to celebrate our veterans here in Bullhead City. I had the honor today to be the guest speaker in front of the National Honor Society inductees at Malk. I appreciate that invitation, and would like to congratulate all of the new inductees into the National Honor Society. Lastly, Friday night, Mojave High School football will be playing another playoff game. They won their first playoff game last Friday. I'd love to see everybody go out and take that game in and cheer on our Mojave High School football team. And that concludes my comments. Are there any items to be withdrawn from the consent agenda? Seeing none, I'll take a motion.
Motion to approve the consent agenda is written.
Second motion.
The motion is second. Cast your votes.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 3.
Item number 3, this is a public hearing, discussion and possible action to 1, adopt ordinance number 2025-12, approving a zoning map change from R2MF residential multifamily district to R1LPAD residential single family limited plan area development, and 2, approve the preliminary plat consisting of 6.778 acres for Sunridge Mesa townhomes and abandoning the existing condominium plat over the same acreage as described in Exhibit A.
Mayor Head, council members, our planning manager, Johnny Laura, will present this item.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. So this project is proposed over the undeveloped easternmost 6.7 acres of the Sun River Mesa Condominium subdivision, located in Sunridge Estates at the intersection of Landon Drive and Landon Drive West. The original final condo plat calls for a total of 150 units to be developed on this property. To date, 30 townhome units have been completed, and there's 11 more that are under construction. So that leaves 109 potential units to be built on the remaining property. The applicant is requesting a zoning map change and preliminary plat approval that would allow them to abandon the condo plat over that 6.7 acres, rezone the property from multifamily to single family, and create 66 individual lots that would be developed with two-story townhomes. So the homes would be built in clusters of two, like townhomes, duplex townhomes, for a total of 33 buildings. This would result in a net reduction of 43 units from compared to the original final plat. So access to these units would be from Landon Drive and from a private drive in between Landon Drive West and Sun River Road. The development would include a screened parking area for residents, and all common areas would be owned and maintained by the HOA. The Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval. I stand for any questions.
Council members, any questions? Vice Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Johnny, can you give an approximation as to what the dollar value will be for these particular homes?
You know, I spoke to Steve Cross.
Rough order magnitude.
Yeah, I spoke to Steve Cross here before the meeting, and if I'm not mistaken, he said between 300 to 350 for these finished units. Right? Right, for each unit, for each townhome.
Can we bring him up?
So it's starting in the high 260s, he said, for one unit.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Question?
I just have a quick question. On the city's description, it says 6.778 acres, but on the builders, it says 5.1 something. I have it written down. I'm just wondering what the discrepancy is.
Yeah, the 6.7 is from the actual surveyor's legal description that includes all the driveways, the area between the existing development and this new development. So the 6.7 is the actual acreage that would be platted as part of this project.
Anyone else? Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.
This is a public hearing. Anyone in the audience wishing to address the council? Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing. Council members?
Motion to approve item number 3 is read.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 4.
Item number 4, discussion of possible action to approve a contract with KP Ventures Well Drilling and Pump Company, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $838,033.86 for the 6-1 well drilling project number 26-U-001 and authorize the city manager to execute the agreement and issue resultant payments.
Mayor Head, council members, our utilities director, Mark Clark, will present this item.
Thank you, Mr. Cotter. Mr. Mayor, council members, this is a request to drill a new well up in the north systems of our city. The North Mojave, Lake Mojave Highlands area consists of 5 wells. 3 of those wells produce 100 gallons a minute or less, 2 produce 400 gallons each. Right now, those wells are all running over 23 hours a day. So, and we still have more construction going to happen in the not too distant future. The project you just approved will be up in that service area. EPCOR had not been putting additional production facilities in place in that area, and so we're a little bit behind the eight ball. And so this well will provide additional backup to those areas. We're anticipating getting at least 400 gallons a minute and hopefully up to 1,000 gallons a minute out of this well, which will take the place of several of those other wells that we have up in that area that are not producing the best quality of water. So we're hopeful that this well will produce somewhere around 800 to 1,000 gallons, but we'll have to wait and see once we get it drilled. We're giving it all the benefits we can by putting in a larger casing, going a little bit deeper. And the well driller that we got, the price we got on this, we were anticipating actually having to pay about double that for drilling this well, was our engineer's cost estimate. So this is a great price, and they can get in and do it in a very short time period for us. Well drillers are very hard to get. Sometimes you have to wait 6 to 8 months to get a well driller out to drill a well of our size that we need with the equipment we need to be able to drill that. So we're very fortunate. This is a great price. Good drilling company. They've done work with Tucson, with Prescott Valley. They've done work for Kingman. So a very reputable firm. This will be the first time we have used them, but they're a very reputable firm, and we look forward to working with them. We've drilled a number of wells up in that area. We had Yellow Jacket drill a number of wells for us up in that area. And we believe this is a good location for a well for us. Excuse me. I would stand for any questions you may have.
Thank you. Questions? Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, the only thing I want to do is mention is the fact that there were four bidders on this particular project, and this KP Ventures, they came in $200,000 less than the next bidder. So the price is very good, and I will vote for this as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No? Council members? Thank you. This is a public hearing. Anyone from the audience?
Scotty from Bullhead. Now, I supported 416 to take over EPCOR. But I didn't realize that all the millions of dollars you spent the last 3, 4, 5 years, we're getting a rate increase is going to pay for it. I thought it was just being paid for by the city general fund. I guess I was really, really, really wrong. So apparently this $838,000 is going to be put onto the next rate increase. Is that right, Matt? You're going to start adding up all this stuff and do like the gas company does 3 years down the road, go to the board down there in Phoenix and give us a raise. So I'm seeing what this is applying now. Anytime you spend a dollar, you're going to use that as a rate, excuse for a rate increase.
Actually, we are, and we speak about this at the town halls, the utility department is what's called an enterprise fund. We have a water enterprise fund and a wastewater enterprise fund. We do not receive funding from the general fund at all. We get $0 from the general fund unless they loan us money that we have to pay back. We have to live off of the revenues we receive from our customers, just like an EPCOR or another company. The difference is we do not have to make a profit. Any money that we charge, we put back into the system to maintain and operate the system.
Thank you. Next.
Sean Bullhead, City. The only question I got is, it's been on my mind for quite a while with relative to the gold mine and the cyanide leach pits that they got up there and the aquifers that are being affected by those leach pits. Do we do any testing for that in regards to drilling wells and, you know, making sure that the water is safe to drink? Because it is, you know, bad enough as it is, we don't need help.
Yes, we do a lot of testing. We do over 3,000 water tests a year on all of our water systems. And when we do a new well like this, we are required to do what they call new source sampling. So there's a whole battery of tests that we have to take to make sure that that well is able to be put into production.
Yeah, because I guess my understanding, you know, even though they lay the plastic down for these gold mines and they leach them, there's still an excess amount of cyanide that gets into the system because they're leaching the pits. And I honestly believe that our water and our aquifer, if not contaminated, could be contaminated down the road if we're not, you know, doing tests regularly or, you know, being productive and mindful about it.
Yes, we like I said, we do literally thousands of tests on an annual basis of all of our water systems.
Okay, all the wells get tested.
Yes, all of our wells.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing, Council.
Motion to approve item number 4.
I'll second. Motion.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 5.
Item number 5, discussion and possible action to authorize the city manager to make a one-time contribution of $25,000 to the Bullhead Regional Food Bank to to provide food assistance during the holiday season and to offset increased demand caused by the federal government shutdown, and further to authorize a transfer of $25,000 from contingency funds to make the contribution.
Mayor Head, Council Members, this is a one-time request. We were receiving word that there were some increases in demand at the Bullhead Regional Food Bank. Of course, you all know the government shutdown was occurring, demand was up, and so upon further discussion and analysis, the number, again, could have been in and around that $25,000 number was discussed to make a direct allocation to the food bank for a one-time contribution for income-qualified people. We believe that this will help them through the holiday season, not just because of the government shutdown, but because of, you know, trends in the economy and food prices are still high and people are still struggling. Had a conversation with Terry Tomlinson about it last week. Both her and Stephen Brown are here to discuss and answer any questions you have. And I'll also stand for any questions. So if you don't mind, as part of my presentation, if you could ask Terry to come up.
Thank you. Please come forward.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, staff. I'm very happy to be here tonight. We were challenged when the government was shut down, and I believe that we acted as SNAP for our clients. One day we served 390 clients in a day on all volunteer except for one paid staff. That was huge. We stretched our means. We stretched our food availability. I have to commend Stephen Brown for calling all over the local tri-state area to gather food. We went so far as to connect with Three Square in Las Vegas, who we are now official partner with. So that was pretty huge. But it tapped us physically, literally, financially, and emotionally to try to serve all of our clients in the area and fulfill their needs. And the citizens, if I know that some of the council member have been there, if you could see some of our families that are in need, it's very emotional. Stephen, I know he has some statistics that he would like to share with you, but personally, I would encourage you to consider this and support the food bank for this holiday season, because really the need hasn't stopped. Even though SNAP is back, and I believe that most of the Arizonans have received their benefits, the need is still high. It just messed with everybody financially, and we are still seeing a very high volume of clients on a daily basis.
Hello, and thank you, Mayor and Council, and Mr. Cotter. In the last year at the Bullhead Regional Food Bank, we served 34,103 families out of the food bank. That's full carts of groceries to them. Those are verified people that go through our application process and are that get checked in, and we know who they are. We know that they're residents of the tri-state area. That was 77,466 individuals were served and fed through the food bank in this last year. In the last month alone, during the crisis, we fed 7,121 families. Those are carts out the door. That equals out to be 17,231 individuals. And these aren't just our families. A lot of these are seniors. Our senior stats, we have over 100 home deliveries. These are just shut-ins that can't get to the food bank. These are ones that we load up the groceries and we physically take them to their house twice a month. Over half of our clients, 53% of our clients, are over 60 years old. So many seniors have came to me and said this is the only way that they can eat and get their medication. So the Bullhead Regional Food Bank is such a vital part of our community. We thank you for considering this and helping us continue to keep our operations flowing. That pretty much continues to 27,294 seniors in our local area have been fed through the Bullhead Regional Food Bank this year. So those are some stats to kind of put apples to apples of what we're doing at the food bank.
Thank you both. Any questions for Stephen or Terry?
I don't have a question. I have a statement. myself and council member Pamela Smith spent the better part of a day this past week visiting the food bank. And needless to say, we watched over 300 plus families go through, including family that brought a little baby that was 2 months old. They didn't have any money, they didn't have any food, nowhere to go. And through the help of the church down there, one of the ladies was able to help the woman get things for the little baby. And we met and we talked to most of these people that went through. And I'll tell you, I will definitely vote for this because I know it's going to for a good cause. And it couldn't be handled any better than what I've seen at Praise Church. They have a great situation. And the way they handle it, people come in so many at a time through a room, and they go to one of three computers. They check in, they're verified, and then are given a token as to how much they will be receiving for themselves, for their families, or for anybody else. And I thank them very much for the job they did, and we thank them for giving us the opportunity to be down there last week and witness what was going on and helping all the people in town. So all I can say is God bless you guys and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Vice Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I do have a comment. Stephen, I just want to say you do incredible work down there, and all the volunteers, you know, really do a great job. And I just want to let the city manager know, as a policy position, I support a finite assistance in these areas. I've given this a lot of thought, and I do find that this is appropriate for the food bank, and I will be voting in favor.
As a person who pulled carts there a year and a half ago, when we would do 120 people in a day, we thought we set a record. A year and a half later, they're doing 390 was just last week. It's triple the amount. The need is not going away. The need is getting bigger. And if you go down there and volunteer, because we need volunteers all the time, and as somebody who spends a lot of time at that place, I got about 33 men that are living there full-time. 23 of them could actually work because the other 10 are too disabled. So it's between those 23 guys and people like some of the people in the council volunteer up there, along with great people that go to the church and help out. It's a miracle, 390 people in a day. It's shopping carts. You got to go out there. You get humbled looking at that. Thank you for what you guys do. Thank you, Ms. Tomlinson. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
Questions, comments?
I just wanted to say thank you both. You guys do an amazing job, and we appreciate everything you do.
I'm biding my time.
No. Okay, thank you. I'll open up to public comment. Anyone from the audience?
Sean Bullhead City. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but those two individuals are amazing. For Stephen Brown to have come on board, Terry Tomlinson to join the board, this food bank is amazing. It has helped, I know I keep saying it, but it has helped veterans that I've asked them for. They've given boxes to help us out. This is absolutely has to go through. The need is the prime example of what I was referring to earlier with the utility assistance. These are the same people that are struggling. So, yeah, like I said, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I know it has to be said. These two are amazing folks. They manage the money well. They manage the center well. And I'd be appalled if this didn't go through, actually. So thank you for listening, and thank you for the votes.
Thank you. Next.
Scotty from Bowhead. I drive by that place in the morning or afternoon, and I'm seeing people sit outside in 115 to 120 degree weather. Now, you guys gave them $1 million to rebuild the place. How come that wasn't considered about the people that go there and have to stand inside all this time? Why can't we get some money for that also? You know, you guys are going to approve this, 25 grand. That's easy. Easy said than done, whatever. But making them stand in that weather What do you think they did today? Did they stand out in the rain? Winter, they have to stand in the rain. We need to fix that problem also.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening again. Terry Tomlinson representing Legacy Foundation. I want to address Scotty's comments. He is right. Our clients do stand in the weather, and it was raining today, and they do stand in the rain. But the really super wonderful news is that we are very close to resolving that situation. So I just want to give you that information and let Scotty know that we are really addressing it, and hopefully we will have news to share in a very short time. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing no one, I'll close the public comments. Before we move on, I would like to say I visited with Jean for a moment when we first talked about putting this on the agenda, and I have had the good fortune of knowing Pastor Cates and Stephen and Terry for a long time. I trust them to do the right things for the community, and I absolutely believe what I heard from Jean, what I've heard from them about the need that continues to grow here. So having said that, I will be supporting this without question. So Council, what's your pleasure?
I just wanted to say that it was when Councilman Alfonso and I were there, it was very efficiently run. The room that they came into to get checked in, and then they were given their little token or what, I mean, it was just wham, bam. They had the system down pat. So I will motion to approve item number 5 as read.
Second.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your votes.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 6.
Item number 6, discussion and possible action to adopt ordinance number 2025-13 by reference, approving amendments to Chapter 16.12, 16.24, and 16.28 of Title 16 subdivisions of the Bullhead City Municipal Code concerning administrative review of plans and amendments thereto, and adopting resolution number 2025-R-50, declaring the code amendment a public record.
Mayor Head, Council Members, I'm going to summarize this for you and the public, that the state of Arizona, our elected officials, in some of their legislative efforts, are trying to force cities in Arizona to be more efficient in their planning processes. One city in Arizona that does not need to be more efficient in any planning process is the one right here. When developers come to this city, there's nothing but accolades and comments. Now, there may be other cities in the Phoenix Valley that are not as nice and efficient as we are, so this legislation is not meant for Bullhead City in any way, shape, or form. We believe that through the adoption of this, we comply with state law, but our plats, our planning processes do not need to change. We're as fast as any city in this state. We do not need to do internal approvals on plats. It's a timing issue because there are developers and real estate folks, primarily in the Valley, complaining that these processes sometimes take years. Ours never do, including our internal reviews, which basically are about 15 days on most days on Billy's desk. So for us, we're going to keep doing our processes the way we're doing with the Plan Commission and City Council. However, the state law requires GARN to forward this code amendment to you all, and we stand for any questions.
Thank you, Council. Questions?
Mr. Mayor, I'll just have a comment. I do like that Bullhead City will continue as is in this area. I have found that the development process is very efficient, so I see why we are going to add this code amendment into the ordinance, but I'm glad to hear that we'll continue our process.
Yeah, that's my comment also. We talked about this for a moment. Sometimes in their infinite wisdom, the legislature tends to try to make a one-size-fits-everybody, and we really didn't need that change, but we will comply, obviously, with the state law. So any questions, comments here? Anyone from the audience? This is a public hearing. Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. Council?
Motion to approve item number 6.
Second motion.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
Councilmember Newland? 7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 7.
Item number 7, discussion and possible action to approve the city's legislative priorities for 2026 and authorize the mayor, city manager, and assistant city manager to advocate on the legislative priorities as approved by council.
Mayorhead, council members, assistant city manager Travis Pruitt will present this item.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Each year, Toby, Eddie, and I, we get together and we talk about strategies for the legislative sessions, things we want to focus on, things we want to keep an eye on, and things we want to pursue. So as the legislation gets going this year, the item before you tonight is a representation of those priorities that we've been talking about, and we've kind of honed in on them. So we like to keep you in the loop of what we're doing down there. So I'll just go through the priorities just so you have an understanding of them. Priority number one we want to focus on is pursuing roadway funding. Last session we had pretty good success in pursuing roadway funding, got votes funding for right turn lanes on Highway 95. So we got a lot done, but there's still more work to do. So we want to go back and pursue it in the same fashion and hopefully continue to get funding to enhance and add right turn lanes and other enhancements to Highway 95. We're also looking at pursuing public safety funding. In particular for the police communication systems, we'd like to go and request funds to kind of upgrade those systems, that infrastructure and that equipment. Some of that may create some efficiencies that can go all into the fire department and other public safety partners. But that is a big focus that we'd like to look at this year. And number 3 is advancing continued support for state lake improvement funds. So the SLIP fund has been very beneficial for us. That's grant funding that's set up for the state for areas like us to do improvements along the lake, the trail systems. We've gotten funding to do bathrooms and things like that. So we definitely want to make sure that we support that funding's available so we can continue to pursue it into the future. Also, we want to look to improve the legislation on short-term rentals to allow for more local control. This is really what it's about. We need to be able to respond to our residents' requests and needs as it relates to the short-term rentals. So what we're actually, we feed into a subcommittee that works on that. So with your blessing, we'll continue to feed into that and look to revise those ordinances and ways to make it work better for us so we can respond to some of those bad actors. And then also, just in general, we want to pursue legislation that benefits the city of Bullhead City and its residents. So that is the plan for this year. Like I said, just want to keep you all in the loop, and I'm here. I stand for any questions you may have in relation to it.
Questions? Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Travis, I would like to see one other item added to that list, if at all possible, and that would be to pursue any and all available funding and grants for water and waste improvement and replacement, since that is one of our major expenses that we have in the city.
Interesting.
Keep looking after grants for those.
Yeah, I'll let our city attorney is probably the best one to confirm this, but if I understand correctly, to add any additional priorities, we need to kind of take a vote on that. Is that how it works?
You can add it by motion tonight when you're ready to make the motion. If that's what the council desires, the motion can be made that way.
Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Mr. Mayor, I do have a comment.
Go ahead.
Just on item number 1, just because it is roadway funding, continued identification of dangerous intersections, just for discussion purposes going forward through the year. Number 2, I wouldn't mind seeing the word training added to pursuing public safety funding, I do like to see a well-trained and confident police force in Bullhead City. And number four, short-term rentals. Yeah, we're seeing that all over the state. You know, we definitely want local control. Thank you.
Mayor and council members, one of the things we run into when we get into the legislative cycles, even with the federal government from time to time, we may get a phone call, the mayor may get a phone call and say, what's your number one priority today? Like, if you could get $1 million or $5 million, what would you put that for? And it's actually happened over the last 5 years or so where that the city, either Travis or the mayor, has gotten that call. And, you know, so you basically are giving a project, you know, and that's why this list is important of what's on top and how it's worded, because, you know, the mayor may say, well, you know, I want something for SLIF, when really the answer is the number one priority is the highway, right, the right turn lanes. And so that's where this list comes into play, because even at the, you know, even when those state and federal budgets are being made, there's always the opportunity for that last-minute discussion with our elected officials. So that's why if we talk about dangerous intersections, that's different than right turn lanes. Doesn't mean we can't have that discussion in the future, but what are we really going after when we go down to Phoenix, when we're talking to Leo or Hildy, and they say, what's your priority? If you were to be able to get some state funding, what would your priority be? And that's, I think, where this really is important for us to make sure we're clear so that we're not asking for something, or Travis isn't saying something that you don't want us to say, right?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would just like to respond. I agree with that, and I just want to get my comment in there. I do support the list as written.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, Travis, I'm going to open up to public comment before we move on. Anyone from the audience? Seeing no one rise, I'll close the public comment.
And, Mayor, we certainly don't have a problem adding the pursuing additional funding for water and wastewater. I think that's something Mark would appreciate. It's just a matter of where you all want it on the list if you make that part of your motion.
Okay, well, we can certainly talk about that. Dan, where would you like to see it on this list?
I'd like to see it as number two.
Comments? Okay, seeing no one object to that, would you like to make the motion?
I'd like to make a motion to add a line item to the list of priorities, basically saying pursue any and all available funding and grants for water and waste improvement and replacement.
And approve the rest of it as presented?
And approve the rest as presented on the. Yes.
That motion makes sense to you, Garn? Okay. Can I get a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Item number 8.
Item number 8, discussion and possible action to approve extending the leash-free hours at Sandy Toes Beach at Rotary Park from 4:30 a.m. until 8 a.m. to 4:30 a.m. until 9 a.m. and authorize the city manager to make further adjustments to the hours as user and community needs may reasonably require.
Bearhead Council members, our Recreation Superintendent Dave Heath is here to present this item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Cotter and council members. As you recall, back in September 2nd at your meeting there, you guys approved the creation of Sandy Toes Beach at Rotary Park. This is our off-leash dog beach that Angie created over there, and it's been a tremendous hit. It's as a reminder, it's open from 4:30 a.m. until 8 a.m. Every day of the week, and then after that, it serves as a regular beach. But during those hours, you're allowed to go in there and take your dog off the leash, let the dog run into the river. People, without a doubt, love it. It has been a huge success in terms of the positive reaction that I've received, and that I know that the park rangers have received on a daily basis. People love it. The only thing that people have mentioned that they'd like to see change about it is the hours. They like that they're able to be there from 4:30 to 8 a.m. They'd like to be there a little bit later. The number that we're presenting here today is closing at 9 a.m. and then from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. it'll serve as a regular beach. And just as a reminder, during that 4:30 to 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning time, people can still go there even if they don't have a dog, and go fishing and treat it as a beach as such. So that's what this item is today, is to extend the hours to the beach, and I'd entertain any comments or questions you guys might have.
Comments?
I have a comment, Mayor. I personally like the line item that authorizes the manager to make any further adjustments in the future without having to come before council.
Councilwoman?
As Toby knows, I've received numerous emails from one individual, numerous emails. Photos of people not picking up after the dogs. But in addition to those emails, I've had verbally people approach me and complain about people not picking up after their dogs. My only concern is, I struggle. When we first did this, I thought, oh, this should be open longer than that. I mean, that's such a short time. But now it's, if people can't even pick up the dog crap, then a little bit of a problem. So that's where I'm struggling with all this.
I drive the park every day on my bike. The only thing you're talking about is locking the gate at the top so they could walk down the path. That's really all it is, because the gate, the fence goes so far and it goes down a little bit. There's nothing stopping me from walking around the gate. But it's only unlocking the gate at the top of the hill is what you're talking about.
Opening the gate, yeah.
But then when it's over, they got to lock the gate, so you can't use the gate.
No, we never lock it.
Never?
But it's just open and close situation. And
so it doesn't get locked at all? There's no gate? Because I saw the gate there. All right. I have no further questions.
Yeah, council member, it's just simply after that time you're supposed to have your dog on a leash is all it really is. And, Mayor, if you don't mind me responding to Councilwoman Smith. I mean, ultimately, we do need to do more enforcement, and we've talked about having our park rangers be educators down there, and if people aren't picking up after their pets, we need to get into a philosophy of they're going to lose their privileges to go to that park. Put up more signage, put up more trash cans, and make it convenient, but ultimately, if people are just going to abuse the park in any way, shape, or form, we do have a process in place, and we actually have had people ejected and lose their privileges for a period of time from coming to the park. And so Dave will have his park rangers watch out for that, educate. But I mean, if you're sitting there and someone just flat out doesn't pick up after their pet after 5-10 minutes, I mean, we can assume they're probably not going to. So we just need to do a little bit more enforcement, and I think our education and talking to them, I think our park rangers have done a lot of that already. But we'll do more signage, we'll do more things to get the community engaged in that, and this is a good session right here of talking about it, that people are complaining that they want to go and take their dog there and not see, you know, the materials from other dogs, to put it as G-rated as we can here. So it's just something we want to have it successful, and the people that are using it and are having Fido run off leash are just loving the fact that they live in a community where Fido can run off leash and dip his nose into the water. I think we can get over this, and I'm confident, and I've relayed that to the councilwoman, that I think we can do this. But if there's some folks out there who are not, you know, doing the right thing, we have to enforce it.
Thank you. Anyone else? No? Dan? The biggest issue I've had from people is the hours, and I get that. As we've worked our way into what some of us are finding cold today, cooler weather, people want to be out there a little after the sun comes up with their animals. So I like this idea. I also understand that, you know, people are only going to be responsible as we make them be. So I agree that we need to put a little more effort into trying to encourage responsible pet ownership. Thank you, Dave. I'm going to open this up to public comment. Anyone from the audience? Seeing no one rise, council.
Motion to approve item number 8.
Second motion.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Please enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Get a new well. And Dan says drive safe.
Capable of thrilling speeds and maneuvers. They are not toys, and they can be highly dangerous if used improperly. All riders are legally required to operate their PWC in a responsible manner. When traveling above a wakeless speed, riders must maintain at least 60 feet between themselves and other watercraft. Turning sharply to spray another PWC, boat, or someone on the beach is dangerous and illegal. Be aware of other boats around you. Avoid crisscrossing in front of other boaters and blocking their view. Remember, your PWC is capable of making very fast turns. Look around you before you turn. Don't surprise other boaters with sudden or unpredictable maneuvers. Jumping wakes or other boats is also very dangerous and against the law. Just like on the road, there's a pattern to the traffic on the river. It's counterclockwise. An easy way to remember this is to always keep the shore to your right. When approaching another watercraft head-on,